It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena. Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Atamaria, I'm very well, thanks. Rachel, and yourself?
I'm not too bad, not too bad. We are going to talk mostly about COVID today. Obviously, we've seen some big maps from the government about how Auckland is going to eventually be moving out of lockdown. But we also, if we get time, we'll touch base on what's happening with the cancellation of the Auckland Harbour Bridge cycleway. But let's start with the big announcements yesterday. We have now seen the three-stage plan for moving us slowly out of level three, which kicks off with people being able to see one other bubble with up to 10 people outdoors, socially distanced. How are you feeling about the announcements that we heard from the government yesterday?
I think probably realistically the government went as far as it was able to. They're kind of between a rock and a hard place, aren't they? On one hand, we're all kind of getting a bit fed up with being locked down and not being able to do the things that we'd like to do. On the other hand, most of us are very aware that COVID is still out in the community. It's at significant levels, but nowhere near the levels that we've seen across the Tasman and Sydney and Melbourne, and we absolutely don't want it to be at those levels. So what was the government to do? They could have just maintained the status quo, but what they've decided to do, I think, as much as anything, to relieve a bit of psychological pressure on people, is to say, okay, we're going to ease the restrictions on the edge where there is least risk and it's safest to do so. So as you said, we'll be able to go out now and meet up with other members of the family, provided we're out in the open air. You know, you should wear a mask, you should socially distance, all of those things. We hope that people will do that. No guarantee that they will, but that's the strong advice that they have. And, of course, the other thing that they've freed up is if you're fed up with the local neighbourhood and just walking around the block, you'll be able to hop in the car and drive across to a beach or drive to a regional park and, again, following, you know, rules of being socially distanced, preferably wearing a mask, you've got that extra bit of freedom back.
That will be bringing a lot of relief to some people who have been feeling very isolated at this time. It will also be causing some anxiety for others as well. How do you feel we're tracking with the vaccine rollout at the moment? We're seeing, you know, 84% of Auckland with at least that first dose or booked in for that first dose. But, you know, we're still seeing some vulnerable communities much lower on that rate at the moment. What do you think needs to be done at this point to increase it in all demographic spaces?
Yeah, basically. Well, look, the good news is that 84% of people and over 2 million Aucklanders have now got at least their first vaccination. And the bad news is the converse of that, 16% aren't at all vaccinated. Now, they're coming through. We'd like them to come through faster and at higher levels. But, you know, anything between 4,000 and 5,000 people a day at the moment are getting their first vaccination. So that figure of 84% will creep up, but as we go on, it will get harder and harder to get the people vaccinated, and that's partly because some people are just straight out anti-vax. Maybe it's about 5%, but the other people are perhaps a little hesitant or unaware. And those are the ones that we really need to focus on. So, for example, last Thursday and Friday and yesterday and today out at Papakura High and James Cook High, we've been taking the vaccination bus out there and encouraging people from those communities, and hundreds of them were getting vaccinated. The South Seas vaccination folk, focused on Pacifica vaccinations but available to anyone, have been operating out of the Vodafone Event Centre, and they had, I think somebody said they had 4,000 people through on one day, getting their first or their second vaxes.
So, I mean, we are seeing as well that when you get community-funded and community-headed projects, you get really great uptake. I saw this week that Pacifica teens are the most vaccinated group in the whole country at the moment, which is awesome, and that's been very much spearheaded by young folks in that space working really hard to get people out there. You know, do you think we need to be seeing a little bit more direct support for community organisations who are going out there and reaching people that perhaps the government messaging or perhaps the more sort of mainstream messaging isn't necessarily going to reach?
Yeah, and the government is doing that, working through Pacifica and Māori organisations, and I think that's had a positive effect, as have the vaccinations through our GPs. I see, you know, one of the GPs in Mount Eden, for example, they've gone through and they were joined the other day out at South Auckland by some Māori GPs, but the Mount Eden one has gone through and they've rung everybody on their lists who attend doctors at that clinic and said, hey, it appears you haven't had your vax, would you like to come today and get it, and then answer any questions that people had. And they're up to 94% of their enrolled patients vaccinated, and that's obviously really effective, and we've just got to keep doing that. And, you know, so every way, you know, we've now brought in so you can catch a cab, you can catch a train or a bus to your vaccination, and it won't cost you anything. You know, if you ring up, we're trying to get so that we'll ultimately get vaccinations going into people's homes if they can't get out of their homes. So we've got to do everything we can. But there's also got to be, I think, as well as the carrot, there's got to be a bit of stick. And I personally, increasingly, well, you know, you're not going to force people ever to get vaccinated, you know, hold them down and jab them. What you are going to do is say to people who don't get vaccinated, with a cost to themselves, their family and the community, look, if you want to go to this concert, you want to go to this sports event, you can't come in unless you show that you've been double vaccinated.
And we are seeing the indications from the government that that will be the case when we get to that stage of the of the strategy. I did want to ask, though, we have seen from the government indications of what will happen when we get to the next stage of moving down the levels of level three, and that's going to also look like some council facilities reopening eventually. That's pools, libraries, spaces like that. What's the council doing at the moment to prepare for that? Because it's going to be different to the last time we were in those spaces. What is being worked on right now for that future moment?
Yeah, well, that will hopefully come. We don't know whether it'll be a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks away. The sooner the better. That's a good question. We've been having a discussion with council about, you know, the position we take towards our staff, for example, at those facilities. If you've got public-facing staff, does it need to become a requirement of your job that you are double vaccinated? And, you know, it is, I think, very possible that we will move in that direction. Having given encouragement, you know, I think with the people we've surveyed in council, it's probably up in the 90% vaccinated now. But like all other employers, like Air New Zealand, they've made that decision about their staff and about their passengers that fly internationally, and it should be probably domestically as well. In the end, it will be that sort of thing that will encourage people that don't have a hugely fundamental objection to vaccination, but they haven't got around to it, or a bit hesitant or a bit reluctant, to say, look, on balance, I want to do my job, I enjoy doing my job, but they say if I'm public facing, I've got to be vaccinated, then I'll get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And I think you just need that sort of encouragement. And the question that I'll be interested to ask of staff today is, okay, we open up the museum and we open up the zoo, etc. Do we then require people that come to those public arenas to show that they've been double vaccinated? Now, the kids won't be, because the kids can't be at the moment, but others can. And I think ultimately we're going to have to move in that direction as well, and everybody else likewise.
With, you know, with just moving away from vaccinations, which is very important, obviously, in that space, I wondered if there has been thought to what it could be like physically in those spaces moving forward, because we've seen examples from overseas where there's been quite a bit of sort of infrastructure change within buildings to make it a little bit more spaced out, a little bit more separate. Is that something that's being looked at for big spaces like the art gallery or the museum, or even in public pools, things that the council has control over?
Yeah, I think what you're going to do is be pushing for that that metre, 2 metre separation that you require of patrons that are coming in and using those institutions. And in things like, you know, the cafeteria at the zoo or the museum, you're going to be working on the same rules. Actually, they probably won't be open in the step two. It won't be until hospitality opens that you'll be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But you will be able to have, you know, maybe a pop-up coffee place outside as you do elsewhere, so people can still get a drink or something like that. So it will be important to put in place restrictions to make sure that we are meeting the proper protocols. We want to open up the art gallery. We want to open up the zoo and the museum and all of the other facilities, but but we need to do so following the protocols that we require in any other public space, and that will be the case with council properties as well.
Now, I think what we might do is we might talk about the cycleway next week, because I did just want to ask you briefly before we let you go about the sort of future space, because now that we've seen this roadmap, we're starting to get a little bit more of an idea about what we're going to see across the next months, weeks and months here in Tamaki Makaurau and you know, more broadly in the rest of the country. Looking towards summer and looking towards the hopeful possibility of having larger gatherings and things like music being something that is, you know, very dear to BFM listeners, is this something that the council is in conversation with the government about, how when we get to that stage it might be able to be facilitated safely? Is that something that is happening as a conversation right now?
Yeah, and what I'd, if we are able to hold concerts, that'll be great. If there were no community cases, you know, of COVID, that obviously could happen. I suspect there will be some, and the question will be that when we get to the level that we hope we'd get to with over 90% vaccinated, whether you say the event will then go ahead, but by the way, you've got to be double vaccinated in order to attend it. That would be the way I think that it will go. We all know we can't lock the economy down into level 4 again. You know, we could get out of this level of COVID and find that with Delta, a week after we opened up again, there was another community case. Well, you can't just keep your economy and your society permanently locked down. The replacement to the lockdown will be a high level of vaccination, and concomitant with that, we will have to make sure that we have enough provision in hospitals, in particular for things like ICU, for people to be treated. In the end, that's where we will get back to as we get back to the new normal. But what the government is trying to do at the moment is buy time for the maximum number of people to get vaccinated and protected, because we know that if you're vaccinated, you've got a 96% less chance of ending up being hospitalised. That's a huge advantage. And anybody that doesn't get vaccinated just needs to think carefully about that. And remember, you know, what the ICU nurses are saying, the tragedy of people asking to be vaccinated when it's too late. Don't fall into that category. For God's sake, do the right thing.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. We'll talk about cycleways another day. There's always time to talk about cycleways, but I think it's important that we have a bit of a focus on the announcements from yesterday.
Yeah, that's the issue of the day. We're all thinking about it.
Well, thank you very much.
Bring on tomorrow. Okay.
Exactly. We'll talk to you, Rachel. Next week.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff. Thank